It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Friday edition of Fresh Oil, and I want to share a good word with you today. As a matter of fact, if I could only preach one message to this world, this would be the message I would preach. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because He was before me.' From the fullness of His grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known." Now, the Bible tells us here that the Word, speaking of Jesus, became flesh and made His dwelling among us. You see, the Jews loved the law of Moses, the Word of God. They loved that. And you will even see, as you go to the Israel and you go to the Wailing Wall, when they're having a bar mitzvah, when a young boy turns 13 and he's going in to receive his bar mitzvah, you will see them kiss the Torah scrolls. They love the law. But the law could only do so much. As a matter of fact, it never was intended to bring life. It brought death. But the Word became flesh when God sent His only Son. In verse 17, it made this statement. It said, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." So many people misunderstand this verse and miss the importance of it, because John gives us here a very important truth. He tells us here that the Bible is a book that contains not one, but two religions. It has the law, which was given through Moses, and then it has grace and truth, which came through Jesus Christ. Two religions, both found in the book we call the Bible. I remember when I was in my early, late 20s, I would say, I was studying Hebrew in the local synagogue with the Jewish people. And I remember one day, as we were going around the circle introducing ourselves, one young girl got up the courage and she said, "What are you doing here with us Jews?" And my reply to her was, "Your Bible is my Bible, the Holy Torah, the Word of God. I just have a New Testament. Your God is my God, Adonai Elohim. I just believe Yeshua, Jesus, is the Messiah." You see, two religions, both contained in the Bible, and yet we don't realize that you have the law, which was given through Moses, and then you have the new covenant of grace, which was given by what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and later it was revealed by the Apostle Paul, who became the Apostle to the Gentiles, revealing the grace of God. The Bible is a book that contains not one, but two religions, a system of ideas and rules for behavior based on supernatural explanations that define our relationship with the Creator. See, friend, you will relate to God in one of two ways. Either you will relate to Him by your performance through the law. How good do you have to be? Jesus told us, "Be ye perfect, therefore, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." Or you're going to relate to God through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and you say, "Father, I thank You that all my sin is forgiven, and it was placed on Jesus on the cross, and so now I can freely come in and worship You." Two religions that fit together to form the book we call the Bible, and yet in some ways they're as different as night and day because they define our relationship with God. What are they? John mentions them here. The law given through Moses, that's the religion that was based on works, not 10 commandments, 613 laws that you find in the pages of the Old Testament. And then you have the religion of grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Christianity comes in the new covenant. Romans 3 and verse 18 says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says, to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. You see, friend, the Jews thought that they were okay because they were trying their best to keep the law. Jesus would tell them later, "You've heard it said, do not commit adultery. I tell you, if you even look upon a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart already." See, he brought it back to the heart. That's where it really mattered, was in the heart. So many churches in America today, people still are preaching the law, that system of relating to God based on your performance. Why? Because they don't understand that both religions are found in this holy book, and you got to rightly divide it. What do I mean by rightly dividing it? Paul said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, I know you've heard this verse before, but look at it in the context of what I'm teaching today. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly handles the word of truth. Now, listen to it in the King James. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How do you divide it? You divide it with Old Covenant and New Covenant. The system of how you relate to God. Under the Old Covenant, you related to God by your performance. How perfect did you have to be? Matthew 5:48. Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Man, that verse used to really mess me up when I was young, because I was trying to relate to God through my performance. And yet God tells us that this new covenant of grace, it's a different covenant. Under the old covenant, no one would ever be declared righteous under the law, because the Bible says in Romans 3, it said that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous through the law, but yet we become conscious of sin. Now, don't get me wrong, friend. The law wasn't bad. It wasn't as if the law was flawed. It just lacked the ability. We lacked the ability to keep it. Abraham was justified not by the law. The Bible says he was justified by faith. In Romans chapter 4, in verse 13, it says this: it was not through law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, faith has no value, and the promise is worthless. Because law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. Law brings wrath. You see, friend, I serve God and I do right because I want to please the Father, not because I'm afraid of going to hell. If you serve God only because of being scared of hell, you're not serving Him for the right reason. And you need to really come to know Him and come to know and understand the new covenant of grace. In Romans chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "Therefore," it's another verse that begins with my favorite word. You stop and see what it's there for. "Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. He is father of us all." Now, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28 says, "There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus." See, this new bride that Christ is making up for himself is a bride that's going to have Jew and Gentile. It's going to have male and female. It's going to have bond and free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. Sometimes people don't understand that. Romans 11 says in verse 19, "Branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in." One Bible, but two religions. That's why it's so important for us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Let me tell you what that does not say. Study so you'll be approved of God. See, sometimes we think, "Oh, I'm going to study hard and then God's going to accept me because I studied." But that's not what it says. It says study to show yourself approved. God already approved you through what Jesus did on the cross. And now you're a workman that needs not to be ashamed. The only way you'll ever become not ashamed and free from condemnation is to digest God's word and see that Christ already approved you by what he did on the cross. He forgave all your sins, past, present, and future. He nailed them to the cross, according to Colossians chapter 2. So we've seen the law. It was given by Moses to the Jews. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Notice it came through him, not from him, because Jesus himself was the greatest teacher of the law. He taught it so hot, and he made it where it came right back to the heart. But Paul would later come, and he would reveal to us the gospel of grace. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 26, Jesus says this. He says, "You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You're like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you're full of hypocrisy and wickedness." You see, my friend, God cleans the inside of the dish, the inside of the cup, whenever he saves us and we are born again by grace, the grace of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus himself, like I said, was the greatest teacher of the law. He came to put the sting back in the law. The Pharisees had taken away the sting of the law. They changed it, much like preachers do today, to point at the crowd and to reduce them and to elevate themselves and make themselves look good. You see, my friend, the law was not good news. It revealed the bad news that we're all so far from perfection that God demands. But the new covenant, it brought the good news of the gospel. That's literally what the gospel means. It means good news. It came first to the Jews through Jesus, and then after his death upon the cross, he opened the door for the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous until the full number of Gentiles comes in. And one day, according to Zechariah chapter 13, God will deal again with the Jews. See, I love Romans 1:16. This is what Paul said. He said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, and then for the Gentile." In Mark 16 and verse 15, he said to his disciples, listen to what he said, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." No longer was it limited to just the message to the Jews. Now he's telling them to preach the good news to all creation. Friend, right there, you have the heart of the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized, not in water, but a spirit baptism he's talking about here, whoever believes and is baptized, immersed in Christ, will not be condemned. If I had but one message to preach, it would be what I'm sharing with you today. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Neighbor, I want you to know today that God loves you and he has a plan for your life. Maybe you're trying to relate to God through your performance, and you get on that performance treadmill and it's never enough. You're never good enough. You might keep all these laws and you miss it in one point, and then the whole thing comes tumbling down like dominoes. Friend, I want you to know you can relate to God through what Jesus did on the cross. All you have to do is acknowledge Jesus as your personal Savior and say, "God, I have sinned against you. I'm lost. I know I need your help. But I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I believe you raised him from the dead. Come into my life and dwell with me." And listen, your life will change. He'll give you a new life that you find through Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining me today, my friend. Write to me. Go by the website at weneedgod.com. God loves you.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time. Remember, God's love for you is unconditional, and He makes His mercies new every morning.